CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning.
Woo-hoo!
Let's kick some ass this morning. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All right, it's just after 6 o'clock. How are you doing? How does Wendy Williams... how does she say it, Sia?
How are you doing? Not to be mistaken with Joey from Friends.
Yes, good morning, everybody. All right, we've got Pumi here, we got Google, we got Sia, we got me, we got you. That's the only recipe we care about. So much to get into, so much to catch up on. I always like to start off these shows when I've just got back from a trip overseas by finding out what I missed, and then we can, like, you know, you got to get me on the same crease as you guys are batting on, and then I understand what's going on. Otherwise, I'm going to talk shit, and you're going to go, oh, well, that's very interesting, but it has nothing to do with our lives.
What a serious sporting analogy.
Oh, did you like that?
It confused me, but
right.
I think it's a cricket
thing. Do you know
what
a crease is?
No, okay,
it's not the thing on your shirt.
Give me
or
marks.
Your pants.
Give me part marks. It is a cricket analogy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, very
good
nice.
Start.
So the crease is that strip of field along which on either side the wickets stand and where the batsman stands.
Oh, where they run
over there.
That's correct. Where they run.
Where they run. Yeah, there we go.
All right. That's good enough. There we go. Okay. So you're well done.
I can do this. Why
and
hasn't Super Sports hired me?
The most sport you're going to get this morning. So.
The end.
Much to Ben's chagrin.
Yeah. God bless you. That's all the sport you're going to get this morning.
That's the word of the day.
All right. So, what have I missed? Pumi, please fill me in.
Previously on South Africa.
On South Africa, the shittiest reality show. All right. Let's go. Come on. What do we got? What's happened? I know Herman Mashaba resigned yesterday. What is his reason for resigning? Can anyone explain it to me? You spoke to Canton yesterday, right, Sia?
It was just all over the place.
Is it a clash with him and Helen?
So he said this, like, he tweeted it a couple of weeks ago, that if Helen becomes elected into the position of chairperson of the Fed,
he's out.
He's going to leave because he's not going to allow what he came here for. To be distracted by right wingers that are taking over.
Oh, so she's a right winger.
Taking over.
Can I just say that from a point of view of someone who's in podcasting, I'm very relieved Helen's back in politics because podcasting it's not her thing. And tea with Gog Helen is something that people should do behind closed doors, especially people like Max Dupria.
But then Helen, when he tweeted that, Helen did remind him that while he was busy making millions out of frying people's hair, she was hiding Umkhonto operatives.
Oh, I thought that was a very petty stoking the fire thing to say. Basically, like, you were going ahead, wasting your time. I was making real difference, you know, during the struggle.
Yeah. Look, if you'd asked me a year ago, I would have been like, oh, but Herman is a good guy, and he's trying to fix the city of Joburg. And if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I would have said, but Helen is the best leader the DA's ever had. Now, I don't want to talk about either of them.
I'm side-eyeing you because what have I been saying
I know. But
what have I been saying about
Helen? Herman Mashaba somehow turned into this, I don't know, he tried to position himself as this man of the people somewhere in the last 6 months. And all he's been doing
while victimizing poor people.
Yeah.
And foreigners.
And taxpayers, frankly.
And street vendors.
Yeah. That's all he's done. So I've really gone off the boil with Herman.
And if you ask, Canton, hasn't fixed the potholes or the traffic lights.
So isn't that the point of a mayor? I mean, you know, I was in New York City and we were talking about Mayor Bloomberg, who was a mayor for 9 years. The term's usually 6 years. And nobody complained when he made his term 9 years because he was getting shit done. You know? That's a hard job to do. To run New York City? Are you kidding me? Now, Johannesburg is a complicated animal, granted. But you should be able to run that if you've run a major business. Clearly, that's not the case.
The skills required for one are not necessarily the same skills required for the other.
Especially when your majority is so paper thin that you're allied with people who are your ideological opposites in the EFF, and you have to try every day just to fight for your own survival, let alone any ability to make any changes. And I'm not making excuses for Herman. Mm. I'm not a fan anymore. I said that at the start. I'm also not a fan of the DA. But I'll tell you something. Whatever is going on there at the moment is medicine for a condition the DA has been suffering from for a long time. So let's see what happens. I'm going to watch how these demons get expurgated, or we'll see how the whole DA collapses. Either one of those two things are going to happen. And frankly, I don't even care what the result is. I'm unattached emotionally to the result of this fight.
He made it sound very noble, though, in his conference and his resignation yesterday. Now, the DA now is not the DA I fought for.
You didn't fight for. You joined it like 4 years ago.
He did say that when I joined, it was because I believed in a particular thing. It's Isafani.
It's very noble.
All right, I want to talk about Baleka Mbete's Al Jazeera. Please, can someone tell me what that was?
I'll tell you what it is. The gift that keeps on giving.
So what happened?
See ya.
What happened?
It is. I still don't know the context of the interview. Why did she feel compelled to do it? Was she blindsided by some of the questions? Actually, no, she wasn't blindsided by it. She could have phrased her answers better. I just love it.
Well, here are the headlines. Embarrassing and painful. South Africa reacts to Baleka Mbete interview. It's from IOL. Times Live says, Baleka Mbete pleads ignorance about government controversies.
Yes.
In Al Jazeera interview. City Press says, a dismissive Mbete embarrasses South Africa in Al Jazeera interview. Mm-hmm. So it went really well for her.
There are so many questions that we are all left with after seeing that interview. Like, whose idea was it to send Baleka?
That's it.
Why was she so ill-prepared? What did they think was going to be achieved by this? I mean, there are just so many questions. Like, have they ever watched an interview with this guy? There was nothing different about the interviewer from how he normally conducts.
This is how he does all his interviews.
This
professional
is just
journalist,
him.
Right. His name is Mehdi.
Mehdi, is that how you say it?
I think it's Mehdi. Let me just get his name right. Mehdi Hassan.
He didn't do anything out of the ordinary, right? So this was just him on a good day.
Well, let's play a little clip and let people in on this, because we all missed out. So let's. Just,
I don't know if we should be playing.
I want to.
Oh,
I
yes,
really
you
want
have
to. All right,
to.
Let's go.
Yesterday
let's go.
We played.
Right, so here he is.
Is it, what? Which one is
which
that?
Part are
this
you
is just has the ANC failed South Africa, right?
Something that happened that we don't need an investigation because there've been lots of investigations was the scandal involving then President Zuma's own estate, the Nkandla homestead, where nearly $23 million or 246 million rand of taxpayers' money was spent on what President
Zuma sweating, by the way,
described as security upgrades, which included a swimming pool and an amphitheater. I'm curious, what kind of security was the swimming pool providing the then President of South Africa?
Well, a minister was in charge of that investigation, and in his view, that was not a swimming pool.
This is the police minister, the president's
hand-picked
police minister.
Yes, the then.
He put out a video to classical music in which he described the swimming pool as a fire prevention measure.
Yes. He did. That's the report we got.
And you accepted that? Seriously?
It's not up to me, Mehdi. It's not up to me.
I didn't say up to you. I said, did you agree with that assessment of... I mean, this is serious stuff. We can laugh at $23 million on pools and amphitheaters in a country where half the population lives on less than $5 a day. You accept that excuse?
No, it's not a question of accepting or not accepting.
I can't
part
stop.
Part of like watching the train that we have is that part of that is actually government property, which was actually for purposes of ensuring that there are health facilities nearby for the president to be able to be looked after or any of the staff.
Yeah.
It's like watching a train wreck.
All right, so
there are
a couple of things that I can pull out of this. Number one, our journalists, and Pumi and I had this conversation just a few minutes ago, our journalists in this country are such soft core backstreet practitioners of journalism. that they never ask hard questions like this of the politicians. The only exception to that that I can think of right now is when Karen Morn wouldn't leave Patabile Dlamini alone. All right, at least she had a go. So let's give Karen all the kudos there. Otherwise, we have journalists in this country, and by no means am I trying to shift the blame away from Baleka, who's completely incompetent from head to toe, but and arrogant. And this is the kind of stuff that would never wash anywhere else, but we seem to make allowances for it in this country. And it's what I've always called the soft bigotry of low expectations. That's our attitude to our politicians. We are actually bigots because we have very low expectations of them, and it's usually tied to some race stuff, which we can get into later. But the journalists in this country never ask hard questions of our politicians, ever.
So I don't know if the journalists have low expectations of the politicians or whether the journalists themselves are not well prepared.
Probably.
And not experienced enough. Even the very experienced ones, you know, they let go of questions. They don't have enough angles that they, you know, so when Mendy asks the questions and she kind of evades it, he comes back at it from a different angle. Mm. You know, he doesn't let her go. He doesn't let her walk away from the question.
Right.
And he doesn't get into a fight with her. So he also doesn't get into an ideological fight with her. He just simply puts the facts in front of her to say, this is the fact, this is the fact. You know, and every time she tries to evade it, he comes back with more facts around it. And our journalists don't do that. Our journalists kind of, they'll ask a question, and when the politician evades the question, they will ask the same question in the same way and get into a fight.
Yeah.
Get into a tussle with the politician that kind of makes them, and that's what happens to a lot of South Africans, is then we look at it and we go, oh, these guys are such bullies, because they get into this fight, and they have the control over the microphone, you know?
But
there are still so many questions.
Don't you ever have that moment when you catch yourself in the middle of speaking and you go, wait, what am I saying? And you want to almost take your words back and go and try to rephrase, and you realize that you're not on the right track. No, but I'm wondering, did she not have those moments when she
what's she going to do? With fairness, Sia, if you were in that situation, now, you know, the ANC's track record speaks for itself. They have plunged us into a terrible situation. The economy is in free fall. There seems to be absolutely no control of anything. This government has completely, it stood idly by at least. That's the best thing you can say about them. Stood idly by or actively participated in the looting of every coffer they could find. Sure. And she goes on there thinking she's going to get a soft core interview.
That's what I don't get.
But I don't think she goes on there thinking she's going to get a soft core interview. I think that there's a level of arrogance that has been bred in our politicians now.
I think you're absolutely right. Sorry.
My second word for you today.
After chagrin.
Yeah, after chagrin. Is hubris. Mm. I mean, these guys have such pride and arrogance, and that I don't think she has those moments of kind of going, what am I saying? What? How does this play out? That simply because she is so arrogant. Mm.
And she's in a bubble where people are enforcing that, you know, they're giving her the feedback she wants. So she's never really held to account. No one actually gives her positive, honest feedback.
There was a moment in the interview where
I gotta say, her hair looked good. She looked like an ancient Egyptian. She had this. I thought it was a very interesting. I thought it was pretty.
You know, when I saw this, we haven't seen.
I don't want to be distracted by the detail, but I think her hair looked nice.
We haven't seen Baleka for a long time, right? We haven't seen her on our screens because we used to see her all the time.
She's irrelevant.
But when I saw this, my first thought, so you liked the hair, but my first thought was, is she unwell?
You mean
what? Because look at her face.
You mean she's puffy?
She looks a little bit like she had a long night. She looks a little bit, you know.
You mean she might have been puzzling?
Hey,
I mean, if it was Batavi, that's
Then we'd know.
I'm
okay, all right, whatever.
I'm simply saying she did not look well. But she did not look well enough to be there to begin with.
There was a moment she was asked in the interview about antiretrovirals.
You and Thabo Mbeki.
Yeah, and her answer was, no, I was busy.
Oh, was that before, after she said, did you ask Thabo Mbeki?
Yes, and she says, no, well, I was busy. This is why I say... Jesus. She could have...
Jesus, that's so... You know, that is... That's like Nero fiddling while Rome burns. It's just the ugliest thing when politicians show just their blatant disregard for the people who put them in positions of power.
I would have rather accepted a protect me from yourself answer.
Yeah, I mean, anything would be better than... Because what she's really doing there is she's raising her middle finger to every AIDS-suffering poor person in South Africa. Mm. That's just cruel. That's not even... ill-advised or ignorant or arrogant or any, it's just, that's cruel. I was busy, too busy to give the people of South Africa who elected you a moment's thought in a matter of absolute life and death. You're too busy. What were you doing? Having your nails done? I'd love to know what she was so busy with.
Getting that beehive hairstyle done.
What could be more important if you are the politician who says, and remember at that stage, look, under Thabo Mbeki's regime, she wasn't as influential as she became later when she became national chairperson of the ANC. But certainly she was a player. She was in the NEC. And she's been a force to be reckoned with in the ruling party for a long time. This is what she said. That's the best answer she can come up with. I was busy.
Yeah, bro.
I'm going to watch the whole thing and I'll have to give you some ideas.
And then lastly, I do want to give kudos, but also at the same time cringe at the production value of the entire interview. The audience shots, to see the audience reactions and the gasp and the laughs. The audience was laughing at her.
Well, not laughing along with her, laughing at her.
No.
And that music, it was like Fiona Coyne. You know, it was like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire kind of music. Kind so of bad. Just bring out the it. Everything about it was just...
cringe.
Completely played up. It, train wreck.
Yeah, okay, well...
Yeah, that's what you missed.
clearly, I've missed a lot. I was in New York with Sia, and I know he's probably given you a slight précis of what he got up to, but it was really just an incredible... I have to give this trip a 10 out of 10. Mm. I got to do a lot of things, got to meet a lot of really interesting people. I'm certainly raring to go. Like, there's just such an energy about New York. I can never, ever get enough of that place. And, you know, people talk about what a disaster America is at the moment, and certainly they've got political problems, and that's an understatement, I understand. But politically, that's not what most people are going through every day. Politics is not, and it's the same for us. You know, when people ask me about South Africa and New York, I said, well, most people in South Africa are just trying to get through the day. Just trying to make a living, trying to feed themselves, their kids, trying to put fuel in the car, trying to be productive. Most South Africans are not concerned at base level with politics all day. It's only politicians who are.
Over here?
Right.
Not interested.
Most people don't care. I mean, Gugu couldn't have been bothered by this stupid...
Might as well not have been,
Or by the DA's rank. You don't care, right?
I couldn't give a rat's ass.
And that's how most people are in this country. Thank God for it. And that's the truth for America as well. New Yorkers are some of the busiest and best people. And I just absolutely love the fact that there's urgency at every moment of the day or night in that place. People are doing shit. And it's the center of the universe. There's just every possible kind of expert in every possible field just on the island of Manhattan before you even start going into the other boroughs. And I love that. Mm. God, I love that place. It's just, I have to get an annual dose of New York or I just lose my energy. So I'm feeling invigorated.
You think you could live there?
I could for a month of every year.
Yeah.
I couldn't live for longer than that. You could, Pumps?
Absolutely. It's on my bucket list to be in New York for a year from New Year's Eve of the 1 year to New Year's Day of the next.
You'll get it right. It's just a hard...
It's a thing.
Let's have no illusions. The way you describe it.
Yeah, let's have no illusions here. I mean, I was staying with friends of mine who are living an unbelievable life there. It is the life of people who are in the top, as Bernie would say, the top 1% of the top 1% of the top 1%. I mean, these people have the most incredible lives. They live in these apartments which are like out of a movie. In fact, movie stars don't have apartments like that.
Sure.
It is next level. I went to dinner a couple of times and I had to pinch myself to realize like the kinds of people that they move with are just next level. And by next level, I don't mean, you know,
the Kardashians.
Yeah, I mean people who can, with one click of their fingers or one small withdrawal, make Switzerland go third world. I mean, sure. That's... And then there are friends of mine who just moved there a year and a half or 2 years ago. And they're doing well, but it's hard work, man. Mm. You know, they've got a little one-bedroom apartment. It's got a nice view over... Like, you could see the Empire State Building, and it's beautiful where they are. It's just you're in the center of the world. But it's hard. They wake up early in the morning. They work until late at night. There's no messing around. And everything in New York is hugely expensive. So I saw this contrast. And I mean, you saw homeless people.
Yeah.
You see people who are struggling, really struggling. And we know what struggling is in this country. But let me tell you, if you haven't got a dollar in New York, you are on your own. And no one's going to stop to help you. That place we're too busy in New York to stop to help anybody.
Although they have cleaned up the homeless people a lot. Like when you're in the city, you don't see as many homeless people as possibly
San Francisco, LA.
Yeah, they are. In fact, there are whole tracts of the city where you just never see that kind of thing at all.
Yeah, like the Upper West Side. I don't think I saw one homeless person. Saw a couple of weird people, but not some homeless people.
Ooh, weird people in New York.
Oh, everywhere.
Such weird people. So everywhere. Did you see any weird people? Because we left Sia alone mostly to do his thing. I mean, we were at the conference together, and
that was
we saw
the Wednesday and the Thursday.
Right, and we saw you when you arrived in New York. I mean, you know, we went down to Times Square, basically, where his hotel was.
Yeah.
He was right in the center of the action.
That required anxiety medication, in hindsight.
Isn't it? You need to, like, kind of brush yourself down to calm down your senses after being in the city.
So bad because we picked Sia up from his hotel and frog marched him. I was in such a, like... I was in such a mood to get him to see as much as possible on his first day.
Uh-huh.
I walked him from Times Square up 7th Avenue into the park, round there, down 8th, back to his hotel in 20 minutes.
Did you have your step counter? But you know what?
I swear I've been looking at my steps in New York. It is insane. There was one day I did 19,000 steps. Yeah, 19,000 steps, that's 14.6 kilometers.
Everywhere. They walk everywhere. And traffic is insane.
By the way, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. People walk. Sure. 10 toes, my friend.
TT.
Yeah.
But I appreciated just that first day of scanning the city because actually New York is very easy to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
The subway is a whole other beast and I'm not going to get started on that. But once you know your avenues, your streets, really you can manage your own way around, and that's what I was able to do.
That's fine anywhere north of 14th Street, but below that it gets very complicated.
Yeah.
It's a new part of the city. The old part of the city is a lot like European cities. It's all circular.
Isn't it interesting, like the movies that show New York? It's a bit like that too. You know, you feel like you're in a movie the whole time.
But also just doesn't do it justice. My favorite moment, and I'm not sure if I brought it up yesterday, was when I went to visit a friend of mine in his apartment and we were in the lift going up and my ears started to pop because of the pressure.
That's
how tall the buildings are. We don't even have anything close to it. I think Carlton Center in Johannesburg is 52 floors.
Well, the Leonardo that they've just put up seems to me to be tall. I was driving in this morning and I saw that skyline and I thought, you know, ain't so bad.
Yeah. That skyline is... Yeah.
And I know
there are a lot of people right now going, oh, please, it's compared to New York. Obviously, this is not a concentrated mega city.
True.
But I'm kind of proud that we've got that big building going up. And there are a couple of them, actually.
Mm. But my friend lives on the 55th floor of his building. And that's just an average. You have no idea what that is like when you're standing on the pavement and your neck has to crane up to take in the sights of all of this. It's unreal. It is just unreal.
All right, let's go to messages quickly and then we get to the five things you need to know. Welcome home, Gareth. Johnny Steinberg has written a brilliant piece and very telling analysis of Baleka's disastrous interview. That's in the Business Day. Thank you, Robin. Gareth likes Baleka's hair because she had the Princess Leia hairstyle. Yeah, probably. Oh, I don't have a problem with it. I think her hair was, you know what? Different and it good for her. But that's the only good thing about it.
That's not how you want to be described in any context.
Princess
though.
Leia.
No, interesting or different.
The problem is that journalists in this country first owe their allegiance to the politicians. Amagwala labantu.
Amagwala labantu.
And also unqualified like the politicians. That's interesting. That comes in from Pitlang this morning. Noni says, morning guys, welcome back. Gareth, have a productive day ahead. Thank you, Noni. Isn't that nice?
Oh, Noni. What
did you hear about
us?
Yeah, well, I think she meant all of us must have a productive day ahead. She wasn't just talking to me. Did you hear about Darren Mann that got fired from Algoa FM just because he said the dairy industry is cruel? Google the story. I can't believe you people never discussed it. Gareth, can I get your views on it? It's absurd. All right, well, first of all, I didn't know who Darren Mann was, so I had to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I'm not being a douchebag about it, but I don't know who's in radio anymore, and I don't care. And it, you know, apparently this dude, someone told me the story, what he did is he went on his show, and he's decided he's going vegan or vegetarian, and he was saying the dairy industry is cruel, which, hello, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I don't give a shit like he does, and I don't have to please sponsors like he does. This is one of the reasons we started Cliff Central. I can speak honestly about this stuff and not have to worry. The fact is the dairy industry is cruel. I mean, think about it. If we put any human creatures into a situation where their milk was taken from them and used to feed another population of creatures, and they were put in cages and then they were marshaled through this thing where machines get attached to them, we'd think it was horrible. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, some farmers obviously do treat their cows better than others, but a lot of them are cruel. They're despicably cruel. So I don't know why that's a reason to fire someone. And do the dairy industry really think this is doing them any good by getting rid of a guy who had the balls to speak up about you? That makes you look even worse because you pressurize some radio station. And by the way, this goes for Barry Bateman too. Like these two radio stations, whoever Darren Mann worked for and 702, who Barry Bateman worked for, forcing these two to either resign or apologize or fire them. It's despicable that radio management, I've always said this, I continue to bleat this boring line out over and over again. Radio management are some of the most, and now more than ever, the most spineless, pathetic, useless, bureaucratic, unprincipled assholes you will ever meet in your life. And I've had to deal with them for 20 years of my life. And there have been two managers, I can count them on one hand, two managers who were not like that. Every other one of them is the most spineless, but just weak. They're weak, weak people. You wouldn't hire them to make you a sandwich, let alone be in charge of a radio station. And the fact that they've done this in both Barry Bateman and Darren Mann's case just proves why you got to get out of radio, people, like I did. Get out. The people who run radio are idiots. All of them. So that's enough of the messages for today. You want to get to some news?
Yeah, let's get to some news, Gareth.
All right. First things first. Eskom's CEO announcement is to be made soon. Ooh, are you excited? President Cyril said on Monday, government will soon announce a permanent chief executive for state-run Eskom after the struggling power utility introduced rolling blackouts again last week. And I'm just horrified to have heard about this because I heard about it in New York. It's just unbelievable. So if you talk to people who really do know what they are talking about when it comes to power generation, and there are a couple of them, and one of them is a guy who For the life of me, it's the second time. Chris Yelland is his name. He spoke at an event I was at not so long ago, and he's written a very good series of tweets on this. You should follow him on Twitter if you aren't already, about what went wrong and why we had blackouts last week. And it's just all about completely incapable management. It's all about that. It's about a lack of maintenance. It's about people who are promoted well out of their league to run things that they don't actually understand. And it's embarrassing. So if you want to know how it happened and you want to know why it happened, just go and look at what Chris Yelland wrote and you can figure it out very quickly. But their debt is enormous and they're a disaster. And now Eskom is looking for a new CEO. So God bless the person who Cyril puts in there, because this poor person cannot win. They cannot win. You could put Jesus H. Christ in charge of Eskom right now and he wouldn't know what to do with it. Madupi's manager's resignation is not related to load shedding, says Eskom.
Except, is that the second news story?
Yeah. Do we believe them?
No, man. We got to have two stories about
Eskom.
Okay,
let's leave it then. I mean, you guys can do your own research on Eskom. It's so boring, isn't it? And I hope we don't have any blackouts today.
Just knock on wood. Yeah. Let's find
City of Cape Town on high alert for another taxi blockade today. The city's been unable to confirm the notice in circulation warning of another taxi blockade. It's nevertheless on high alert, Mayoral Committee Member for Safety and Security J.P. Smith said on Monday. According to a notice in social media, Tuesday's taxi strike, which will supposedly be held from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., will begin in Khayelitsha and end in the CBD. Guess who it's going to hurt the most? Poor people who need to get to work. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. How much more can poor people bear that whenever there's a dispute, even that doesn't involve them, they're the ones who get used? Anyway, good luck in Cape Town today if that's the case. And we don't know. It's not confirmed that there will be a taxi strike, but there may be. And then the ANC's integrity report was rejected. Are you surprised? It appears the ANC in Gauteng is on a mission to protect some of its members. The rejected recommendations from the party's integrity commission to remove several members included two who are linked to the VBS scandal. The commission in Gauteng, headed by Trevor Fowler, recommended that the mayors of Merafong on the West Rand the West Rand municipality be fired because of unlawful deposits in VBS. So these are just people who stole. And instead of them being forced to resign by an integrity committee the ANC has asked to be established, they try to hide it. And they reject the report because obviously these two people they need for the elections.
It is a talent and a skill unlike any other to live and yet still function if you work for the likes of the ANC and still have like a decent life. Like, you know, most of us, we wake up and we just want to have a blissful day. You know, just nothing on your chest. And you breathe and you smile. And
yeah, you don't want to fight with friends, people nothing, and steal no. other people's stuff.
To be able to wake up every single day and this is what is said about you and you still go on, I don't know how you do that. You know, coming back, flying back to South Africa, I was standing in line with former Minister of Sports and Good Times, Bucks.
Oh, was he also on the same flight?
Decked out in... Oh, no. But, you know, we had to go through customs together.
Oh, wow.
Decked out in Gucci Gang. Yo, ho, ho. Top to toe Gucci Gang.
Yeah, you see?
Smiling with not a care in the world, going, wow, that's a talent. That is a talent.
It's also just brazen and it's full of hubris, like Pumi said earlier. All right, well, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has denied the new Brexit deal vote. There's something going on there. I have tried to understand this. Let me explain according to the story and maybe you'll understand it better than me. So Boris has dealt a fresh blow Monday when the Speaker of Parliament denied him a second shot at getting his Brexit deal passed, with just 10 days to go before the deadline. House of Commons Speaker John Bercow, who is a colourful figure who's played a starring role in the Brexit drama, said Johnson was not allowed to push for the same vote twice in the same parliamentary sitting. Lawmakers decided at their first Saturday session since the 1982 Falklands War to force the Conservative leader to ask Brussels to postpone the 31st of October divorce by 3 months. I don't know. I'm up to here with Brexit. Don't understand. Yeah. But it's interesting that they had to get Parliament to sit on a Saturday. I think that should be a rule. In fact, Parliament should sit on a Saturday and a Sunday.
Why do you say so?
You want to work for the country. The country doesn't switch off. You should be working for the country.
Ooh.
Make it less pleasant to be a politician, and you'll get really devoted people into the position. If it's too cushy, you get slobs and lazy people and people who wear Gucci. If you make it a horrible job, they don't apply. Those lazy people go elsewhere to be bribed by big business or whatever else it means. Anyway, so Johnson's foes are now forging new alliances and trying to attach amendments that could either force him to push for closer trade ties with the EU or abandon the deal and accept a third delay this year. The option of extending Brexit is now in the hands of the 27 remaining EU member states. Oi, 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 oi.
Yeah, we had Henry Biddlecombe in for Anthea yesterday, and he was trying to explain what the latest impact would be of Brexit, and we still couldn't get to the bottom of it. There's just too much happening.
I don't think Boris knows how to get to the bottom of it. That's part of the problem. All right, you want to do some more messages before we get to the rest of the morning?
Okay.
You see, there's so much happening in South Africa, we almost forgot to talk about Brexit.
Hmm. I don't think.
Yeah, we have our own problems. We need to. Hey, charity begins at home, and also dealing with your own issues begins at home.
You know, there's like, I wonder who is in charge of putting together like press conferences. If there was like some kind of tender, because there is a booming business for press conferences in this country.
A tender for it,
dude. Hmm. Every other day, somebody's having a press conference of some kind. I'm astounded, however, that we haven't had an EFF press conference in a while. At least not since there was like the huge VPS bomb detonated amongst us. In fact, they've kind of gone...
Nothing to see here.
AWOL. Yeah. Like, where are they?
Well, maybe they actually do have some conscience and they're embarrassed. That would be expecting quite a lot. Let's just leave it there. All right. First of all, here from Lionel is a rumor. A rumor going around that Jeff Radebe wants to sue either former president of Botswana, Ian Khama, or Bridget Radebe for having extramarital relationships with each other.
Ooh, it's not a rumor. There's a WhatsApp going around, guys.
What?
Then it is a rumor. We can't. That is the definition of a rumor.
It's not a rumor.
Wait, what?
So Ian Khama and Bridget Radebe, huh?
Sure. I just bought me spill the tea. I don't know.
And apparently Bridget has gone back to her maiden name.
Motsepe.
Tea. Yes. Wait, when did this supposed affair happen?
Yeah, you're so into this.
Yes.
Sia is so into rumors.
This is what happens. One afternoon with Wendy Williams, and this is what happens to you.
I need details. Was it a Monica Lewinsky of it all? Was it a one cold night? You know,
in Khabaroni.
Khabaroni.
Imagine. All right, you want to hear from? Here's Ali. Let's listen to what he has to say.
Morning, guys. Speaking of Brexit, I suggest people listen to a Freakonomics podcast episode called The Minister Who Cried Brexit. It's about David Cameron, who was the guy who initially started this whole Brexit story, and gives a lot of insights into the inner workings of the British Parliament, which is quite interesting. I think there's a lot of those things that they do we could implement in our Parliament. It would make things so much better over here. But yeah, I'd recommend that Freakonomics episode. Right,
very nice. You see, we love a podcast. And then someone else comes back. Who's this? Let me give them credit. Pavalo says, I thought Ian Khama was gay. At least that would settle it.
Ooh.
And he also says that Leonardo skyscraper in Sandton is an eyesore. I preferred looking at the cranes. Sure.
You preferred looking at the cranes.
Lots of shade coming from Pavalo this morning. Hey, Gareth, welcome back. I saw your tweet about a possible business venture. Does it mean that you will maybe move to New York permanently, Dion? Dion, calm your tits.
Wow, Gareth.
No, Gareth.
But of course I would like to expand this beyond these borders, because, number one, South Africa is a very small market. I think we could do a lot of things that people in America are not doing. This is part of what we did on this mission.
Mm-hmm.
I also think we could do it cheaper because we were in rands and they're in dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I would very much like to establish a New York office. So, yes, I mean, that's total honesty. Nothing to hide. I think it's the right thing to do. I don't want to be rich in rands. it's like having three friends, or being the land in the land of the blind, being the one-eyed man and thinking you're king. So, all right, Midnight Cowboy, New York, love it, and the soundtrack. Yes, what a great movie.
Fantastic.
All right.
What
have you got? See, has discovered some filth. What have you discovered? What have you got, Sia? Come on, bring it on.
It's this Bridget Fonseca thing.
Okay, go on. What do you got?
If it, by the way, let me flat out say allegedly as the disclaimer. But this is the juice of it all.
Go on.
According to the Sunday Standard. Former Minister Jeff Radebe and Bridget Motsepe are estranged. And this is following Jeff Radebe suing former President Ian Khama for wrecking his marriage. Motsepe and Radebe are currently on separation. And the former minister yet is still staying in their Sandhurst mansion, while Motsepe has moved to the five-star hotel, the Four Seasons Hotel, the Westcliff in Sandton.
May I just add, though, that this former minister, Jeff Radebe, is the very one who was outed in Screen Munchers requesting pictures of?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Requesting pictures of?
Radebe has already called on one of South Africa's top lawyers, Themba Langa, to institute their
Themba
divorce.
Langa.
Yeah. What did I say?
Themba Langa. What is that?
It's part of the Jews.
Put some respect on the man's name.
So let's see. I want to see how... I feel very late to this party, but now I need to find out. I need to call the Westcliff and find out who are some of the
tell
guests
her to come in here
who
and,
are staying
tell
there.
Tell her to come and unburden herself with us.
If she's now back to her maiden name.
Yeah, come and talk to us.
Griselda, what's her new name?
Not Kananda.
She's got a new last name. Anyway, Griselda was tweeting about it, outing people. There were WhatsApps.
Well, I love this.
Flying around.
So Cindy's casting aspersions too. She says Ian Khama is definitely gay. If there is a woman, she has a beard. I don't. You know, people are so mean. Like, you don't know unless you've seen the guy.
Been in that room.
In flagrante delicto.
Yeah, Bosia.
What the lawyer's going on here?
Yeah, Bosia.
Look up.
I can't even pretend to type that.
Flagrante delicto.
Yes.
Unless you've seen him in flagrante delicto, you don't know that. Anyway, she says, I was family friends of the Khamas when I lived in Gaborone. I'm still to a degree, but much more removed nowadays. So, okay. So,
Cindy, call us.
No, we will not be part of
email
spurious
me.
Rumors. No. If people want to have these conversations, they can have them, but I'm not going to give it the dignity of a response. I mean, come on. We're talking about the head of state of a neighboring country and a woman who's a prominent businesswoman in this country who's married to a minister. Mm. I'd like this to be...
Who's also very much a senior.
Yes, they both are. Both, you know, in the, they're not exactly
spring chickens.
Yeah. So let's just treat this with a little bit of reserve.
Respect.
Yeah. Okay, true.
Yes, you know,
instead of being filthy rumor mongers on the Twitter streets
I'm just reading what is in front of me here. It is understood that Radebe was dropped from President Ramaphosa's cabinet following revelations that Motsepe was involved in a campaign to topple President Masisi. See, it's not me. I'm just the messenger.
There's going to be an election in a day. Tomorrow, I think, in Botswana. Yeah, and just speaking of Ian Khama, I'm just saying there are other things happening. It's a very big election year in Africa this year.
Okay, but Cindy, see at cliffcentral.com.
All right. Dear team, this comes from M. I've been quietly following from day one. You're pretty much the only thing I listen to. Thank you very much, M. Today I was listening to an older podcast where you were discussing clipping of toenails and other questionable behavior in public. You reminded me of a staff meeting where our professor got his sandals off and started digging in his toenails. He did that with the fingernails. He left long to dig his ears with. talking in public spaces, full departmental staff, and dean chairing. Sorry for the mental image. It was most one of the most disgusting events of my life.
We'll never be able to get that out of our heads today.
It's disgusting. Why do people do that? I see these guys at the gym. I always complain about these old men at the gym I go to. Well, I mean, it's all the gyms I've gone to because I go to different ones. It's always these old guys who just, you could see that they don't really give a shit. Their wife doesn't even bother with them anymore because she's just horrified. She's horrified. And these guys, they go and they shave their heads and they leave the sink
in
all
the gym.
In the gym, dude.
Oh, man.
They dry their balls with their hair
dryer. I've seen that. They dry their feet with the hair dryer.
Wait, whoa.
They dry their balls, Pumi.
With the hair dryer in the change room.
So a friend of mine was telling me that at her gym, they have a unisex steam room.
At what their gym is this, Pumi?
Yeah, but you have to go into those in swimwear.
Yay.
But that's still not
understanding that there are men drying their balls with hair dryers.
No, but that's in the locker room.
I'm just saying, people obviously walk into gyms and forget all sorts of
men drying their balls with a hair dryer. Honestly, that happens, right?
That does happen, yeah.
Claps once.
It's like, why do something you wouldn't do at home? I think that's like the general rule.
I think the assumption is that they wouldn't do it at home.
It's in someone's daily routine. Shower, get out of the shower.
How would you have even
dry yourself, plug in the hair dryer, and you
like, how would you have even known that this is what I'm going to try out right now? I'm plug in this hair dryer, hold it. What?
People do that.
Humans are so
You see ninjas walking around with their little winkies in the gym. Like, I don't want to see you like that.
Don't be
What?
People can walk around with their little
I don't want to see that
have
shit.
Have any of you... I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's gross.
I have visuals.
Any of you seen that video?
Thank you very much. Thank you, M.
Timothy Maurice put a tweet out but yesterday sometime. A baboon at Sun City. Did you see it? A baboon at Sun City opened a window, walked into a sleeping man's hotel room, grabbed a bite, finishes, and then smacks the man on the bum and quietly leaves. It's unbelievable.
Grab the bites off food.
Yes. Grab something because they put out sometimes a tray with some fruit on it. So this baboon opens the window, walks in, and then grabs the snack and then smacks the guy in the backside on its way out. That is a cheek.
Cheeky mayhem.
That is a cheeky son of a bitch. All right. Reptile brain, says someone about the... I think that's Brendan. I'm not sure what you're referring to exactly. It could be anything we discussed.
We'll just go with it.
All right, here's a good one while we're on the messages. This is from Candace. She says, I worked at a spur once, and our supervisor used to pick her pimples and eat them. I once saw a woman insert a tampon in a gym change room. This is when I made the decision to never go to a gym change room. I'll rather wash at home. Yes, sis.
Yeah, yes, sis.
And then Rob says... Our primary school life skills teacher would brush his teeth in class while talking to God in the middle of a lesson. Not praying, conversing. Very strange. Huh? What a guy. Rob, I hope you made it okay and you're seeing a therapist still. Because you need to be. There are seriously screwed up people in the world. Seriously screwed up people.
I actually have chicken skin from... The person who used to pick their face.
Yes, it's gross, huh? That's pretty gross. That is fairly disturbing. All right. Is there anything else I missed? Is there anything else you want to know? We got an hour to get into all this stuff. What do you want to do?
What do you want to do? Still gagging. Okay. Let me keep quiet.
Oh, I so miss the happy news. I need happy news now.
You mean said by Sia?
I need happy news, Sia.
We can task you with that.
With me?
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, why don't you actually do that for me?
Okay.
We'll have it once a week.
I mean, maybe that's the way to go.
I'm taking it on. I'm happy too.
Yes.
I'll find happy news.
We shall. We live in a very happy country.
Hey, man, this is... It's a lot, man. It's a lot to go into. Like, start the day off with.
Here's some happy news that I discovered when I was just minding my own business yesterday, planning. And, you know, planning the rest of my year. It is November next year, folks.
Next week. Not next week.
Is November.
All right. Everybody calm down.
That'll make you happy.
All right. Let's all calm down. We've got a hell of a day ahead of us. All right. Take it away, David Bowie. CliffCentral.com